What's up, everybody? Welcome to the second episode or edition of The Razor's Edge with Preston and my cohort in crime,
Andy.
I'm taking a drink. Okay. As always, like last week, by the way, thank you for everybody who downloaded last week's episode, over 120 downloads. So thank you for kicking ass.
Pretty awesome.
Yes. Of course, same rundown as last week, Raw SmackDown discussion, and then a DVD and a pay-per-view review, and then whatever the hell else, so yeah. Raw was really good this week. I enjoyed Raw. We kicked off with Punk and Jericho having a segment, which was very good, and to me added a lot more tension to this feud, and to me made it the best feud going into WrestleMania. What did you think?
Was this the one where Jericho talked about his sister?
Yeah.
He sort of apologized, like, because you knew he was going to do something. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I won't say anything about your dad. And he's like, but your sister on the net. And I was almost pissing myself laughing. I was like, oh, my God, he did not just say that. And he talked about how his sister had drug abuse, like that she was addicted to drugs, I believe. Or
yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that was hilarious. I'm sorry, but I thought it was hilarious.
I think this feud is being built beautifully. I like the fact that they're taking this storyline much deeper and, you know, personal, which I think it needed. And for those of you wondering out there who are, you know, all getting up in arms over this is all kayfabe. No, this is real. But it's a beautiful storyline, and I love it, and it's building great to WrestleMania. Big Show and Cody Rhodes. I'm not going to talk about the match. I'm going to just talk about the segment afterwards where Cody Rhodes kicked the shit out of Big Show, which was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And only added to Cody Rhodes' awesomeness as being Intercontinental Champion. What did you think of the segment, and then what do you think of the feud?
A lot of people don't know that I am a Cody Rhodes mark. Like, I am a huge fan of Cody Rhodes. I love the guy. He's a great Intercontinental Champion. He brought back my favorite belt of all time, being the white strap Intercontinental title. I love that belt to death. Not sounding like a homo, but I love that belt. And also, you know, just great. You know, they don't have very much build-up going into WrestleMania, and that, I thought that was just some, you know, a good build-up for that.
Yep. Rock's promo in front of the Rocky statue I thought was awesome.
Oh, yeah, once again.
Just phenomenal promo. I really don't know what else to say. It was just great.
Of course.
John Cena, John Cena that Monday got, you know, hit by a semi or tractor trailer or something. And,
yeah.
And then came to Raw, you know, Mark Henry. And let me just say this real quick. I absolutely hate the fucking announcers on Raw, and I know everybody else does too, but I hate it when they're like, oh my God, Cena's gonna F you Mark Henry. I'm like, I've seen it like 5-6 times at this point. Like, it's nothing new. It's nothing surprising. It's fucking retarded. I'm sorry. And then, you know, and then another problem I had with this segment was The Rock came out, and then Rock bottom Mark Henry, and then did nothing to Cena. And I'm just like, come the hell on. You're really just gonna have The Rock come out there and Rock bottom Mark Henry and then do nothing else? And I tell you what, if they don't have a physical altercation this week on Raw, or next, you know what I mean, I'm going to be very pissed off. Because they have been teasing this and prodding this for so fucking long that if they don't do it this week, this feud can just suck it. Honestly.
Yeah, exactly. So you're talking about Cena Rock here. Might as well just keep this going here. I'm pretty sure they announced on Raw that they're sort of having this face-to-face thing right before WrestleMania. So hopefully they are going to have a good, solid, no 10 minutes bullshit at the end of Raw. They need, at the end of Raw, a good half an hour to have a good build-up. This is WrestleMania. This isn't Extreme Rules. This is WrestleMania. You need a good 30-minute promo to lead into WrestleMania. It's The Rock and John Cena, okay? This isn't Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan, okay? This is The Rock versus John Cena. You need solid build-up.
And I'm sorry, but the time for talking's over, okay?
Yeah.
In my opinion, they have promoed this feud to death, which is not a good thing. That's not a good thing. If they did this to Taker and Triple H last year, And while this year it's been good, and I've liked the build that they've given Taker, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels, Hell in a Cell, because of all the stuff they've added to it, and the promos are actually good and face-to-face, it's a lot different than last year's. Cena Rock's a different story. Cena Rock, all it's been is promos, besides Cena's giving The Rock an FU, and The Rock's giving Cena a Rock Bottom, but that's only one time, and that's all that those altercations were. To me, those don't add anything in my book, and my thing is if this feud does not have any altercations until WrestleMania, it doesn't feel as big as they're portraying this match as being. Because, I'm sorry, physical altercations make me more invested in the match because it makes me, you know what I'm saying? Like, the best
feuds
have that stuff in them. I mean, look at, you know, Taker, Triple H, Eddie Ray, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho. Those are some of the best feuds of all time, in my opinion. And they had all physical altercations. They're very physical, you know, talking in just physical altercations, and they felt real. In my opinion, Cena Rock does not feel real to me. It feels like a fucking storyline on Days of Our Lives or some bullshit. I know.
Oh, Days of Our Lives, yes. I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah, like, they need to do like that, you know, start getting face-to-face, one of them pisses the other one off, and then they just start beating the hell out of each other.
Yes!
That needs to happen.
And I like the fact that somebody came up and said, you know, clear out the locker room or a bunch of security or something. Just have it so intense. It's so, you know, they want to kill each other, you know, that they have to be restrained, and then they break the restraints, because those are the best, you know, physical altercation builds, in my opinion. When it's getting so out of hand, they got to bring in wrestlers or security or whatever, and then they're trying to hold them back, but one gets free and he lunges for the other guy. Some of the best physical buildup you can do for a few, because it feels like, all right, these guys really want to beat the shit out of each other, then, you know, makes the match bigger than it already is.
Yeah.
The Rock has just been talking. That's all it's been. And it's been...
Yeah.
And just, you know, this is what's drawing WrestleMania. To me, it doesn't deserve it, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, you know, next Sunday is WrestleMania, I believe, right? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
You know, you know what, as sad as it seems, you know what, it just seems like some ghetto yo mama battle competition, what they've been doing. Because all they're doing is dissing each other. It's like, oh yeah, cool, you know, Cena's a rapper and The Rock's trying to be gangster over here. But, you know, The Rock's been doing some funny promos. Cena, I still think Cena's been getting the upper hand. I'm sorry, I still think he's been getting the upper hand a couple times. The Rock's got a couple, but I think Cena still has that slight edge of the dissing portion of it. The midget shorts and crap like that, okay, that's funny, but it's not totally funny.
To me, the Rock has only felt like The Rock for me for 3 weeks.
It was
the Raw in Boston, the Raw last week in Cleveland, and then the Raw this week in Philadelphia. Those three Raws, that was The Rock. That's The Rock that I've, you know, from the Attitude Era, from the early 2000s. That's The Rock I wanted to see the entire time in this feud, and in my opinion, we've only got it for 3 weeks now.
Yeah,
and
true.
To me, you know, the time for, you know, Boosta Asses, Team Bring It, C Nation, all that crap needs to end, and I want to see these two guys just rip each other's heads off. And if my opinion, if they're going to not even try to add something to it and just go toward just everything goes towards WrestleMania, that's bullshit, because that's a shitty build, so...
Yeah, I think we broke off into this Cena Rock talk.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Is there anything else that we need to really... Undertaker... My thing with the Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels thing at the end, it was kind of boring. Like, what? I don't really get what the hell that added to the match. I like that it ended the show, but, you know, here's how the segment ended. You said, you remember when, you know, I said Shawn was better than you? He is. That's how Raw ended. That's kind of like, eh.
Yeah, what? That has nothing to do with the match.
So fucking stupid. I'm just like, whatever. I'm still looking forward to the match. I still can't wait for the match. Just the build has kind of been in the middle. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you have anything else to say about Raw?
Not really. Just going to say the highlight, I think, for me was really the... It's sad to say, because, you know, it wasn't really the greatest thing, but I'm still going to go with the Taker, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H thing. That was probably the good part for me, because Raw wasn't all that special, you know. We had some miscellaneous matches, you know, Tonga and Morella and Daniel Bryan and Zack Ryder, Like, Daniel Bryan shouldn't be facing Zack Ryder going into WrestleMania next week.
Right, it's like, just kind of like, you know, whatever.
Sheamus and The Miz, not bad, okay? The Miz is still a good superstar. He still is one of the top dogs because of his ego, you know? That sort of thing. Sheamus won the match, which was good. Daniel Bryan won his match, which is good, so that means they both win. They're, you know, moving towards WrestleMania. Now, I still think that Sheamus and Daniel Bryan should have some sort of, you know, head-to-head talk, because I think that they've been more physical than any feud.
Who has?
Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. I would
agree with you.
Because Punk and Jericho, they've been just talking. They got physical as well. I should say, you know, they got physical as well. But Rock and Cena, definitely not physical.
Right, they haven't really touched, in my opinion. And, you know, this is the whole, you know, year-long build-up, blah, 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 all that crap.
Alright, I'm good for Raw.
I'm trying to see if there's anything I really don't even want to talk about for SmackDown. I'm just kind of looking through.
Yeah, I'm sort of thinking the same thing, you know.
My results in the WWE, I really don't see anything really worthy of mentioning from SmackDown. You know what? I'm not talking about SmackDown this week.
But except for one thing. May I say one thing? The Great Khali beat Dolph Ziggler via countout. That is bullshit.
That is bullshit.
I'm going to rant right now. Why the fuck is the Punjabi bitch, the Great Khali, facing one of the best-selling superstars, Dolph Ziggler? And it was via countout. Why don't you just put your nails down a chalkboard, okay? That is bullshit. That is complete bullshit, okay? That is like, that's retarded, okay? I don't even want to see that anymore, okay? I just don't even want to read that. That is just complete bullshit.
Great rant.
Okay, you know what? I hated it. God damn it.
Fuck Khali, honestly. I hate that son of a bitch. I hate him.
Just go back to where the fuck you came from.
Go fucking
Seriously.
Die.
Oh, God, you're nice. Go fucking die.
Another thing that that aired this week is the Lord Tenchi promos, which, for those of you who actually don't give a fuck, which nobody probably does, that is A-Train. For those of you who know A-Train is, Albert from TNA, A-Train from the mid-2000s. He's coming back as Lord Tenchi, which I think is a cool thing. The guy, from what I remember, he was pretty good. He's gonna apparently work with Cena, so that should be fine. But I think also we're gonna talk about real quick is the Team Laurinaitis team long tag team match, which we just ranted on.
Yeah, and before you drag into that, I'd just like to say something. One of my favorite WWF superstars of all time, Yokozuna, is going into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, Yokozuna in the Hall of Fame. By the way,
congrats, Yokozuna. I love that.
Let's talk about the Hall of Fame for a second. I just saw on NoDQ that they had the full lineup for Hall of Fame. So let me find it.
You're looking for that.
Got it.
Here's
the people that are being inducted, and here's the people who are going to induct them. Edge is going to be inducted by Christian. Holy crap, that's a fucking mind blower, isn't it?
No, yeah, that one. what a surprise.
The Four Horsemen, which I guess Ric Flair is going to be there, so okay, is going to be inducted by Dusty Rhodes, baby, the Mac and Dream, so that's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Mike Tyson's going to be inducted by Shawn Michaels and Triple H. I think that's fucking awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Mil Mascaras is going to be inducted by his... What is Alberto Del Rio's kin to Mil Mascaras? Is he his nephew, or is he his... I know he's not his...
Maybe, I think.
I don't remember. I know they're related. So, Del Rio...
I like Mil Mascaras.
I do, too. Great, you know, legend in the business. Ron Simmons is going to be inducted by JBL. That's not a shocker, either.
Oh, man, JBL. I love JBL.
Me too. JBL's awesome. And Ron Simmons. Both of those guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And just like we said, Yokozuna is going to be inducted by the Usos and Rikishi. So that's pretty cool.
I like that.
And Jerry Lawler is going to be hosting the Hall of Fame this year. So.
Oh, sweet. Jerry Lawler. Yep. I like Jerry Lawler.
So there's your Hall of Fame rundown. So Hall of Fame, damn good this year. Better than last year's, which was with fucking Drew Carey and whatever. Well, no, was that last year's? Yes, that was no.
I don't
remember who the fuck. I know. Fuck Drew Carey, by the way. I like Drew.
Yeah.
I love the Drew Carey show, but you being in the Hall of Fame, suck my ass.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
But you know, I'm glad Mike Tyson got in because he actually does deserve to be in the celebrity wing. because of, you know, the big stuff he did for WrestleMania 14. So Mike Tyson going in, great. The Hall of Fame class to me this year is goddamn stacked. I don't have any problem with anybody going in, so.
Yep.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get the tag match now. The people that I'm gonna see if I can do this off of memory, so here we go. Team Laurinaitis is Otunga, Mark Henry, Christian. He hit a roadblock. Fuck. Oh.
Wait, what are you saying for the team?
Yeah, Team Laurinaitis. I know it's
Team Laurinaitis is David Otunga,
Mark Henry, Christian.
Mark Henry, Christian, Alberto Del Rio.
Rio, who else?
Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler.
And that's the full team for Team Laurinaitis. He is officially filled. For Team Long, oh my god.
Yeah, exactly.
Santino, which, okay. Kofi and Truth are good.
Yeah.
Fuck the Great Khali and, he got, somebody else got put on his team tonight. It was Khali and, wow. Brain fart. Hold on. WWE.com is going to save me here. Hold on, give me 2 seconds.
Fucking Great Khali. Honestly, I hope he gets injured again.
we are not nice to Great Khali on Razor's Edge. We just want to see that bitch fucking get destroyed.
Dude, I hope somebody fucking runs him over. If they can, he's so goddamn big. This Hornswoggle should go up and kick him in the nuts.
I don't remember who the fuck else is on Team Long, but he's apparently goddamn irrelevant if I can't think of
it. Two words. Rey Mysterio.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about here in a second. I can't think of the other guy who was on. I know there's two people that got added, Khali and somebody else, which...
Obviously, they're not important.
Obviously, I don't remember them if I can't get them off my head. But yeah, Rey is the other guy that apparently is going to be added to this team. Now, whether or not that happens or not is remain to be seen, but I think it's about 50% sure that that's going to happen. That all comes down to medical clearance. Is the big thing that is going to, you know, whether it's nay or yay. Del Rio being confirmed, I think if Rey's not in this match, that is some bullshit. If it's somebody like an Ezekiel Jackson or some crap like that, I'm not going to care about this match at all, to be quite honest. Because in my opinion, Team Laurinaitis is going to win this thing. So honestly, this match is just going to be one of those matches where I'm like, okay, whatever, I don't really give a shit. And I'm going to have two bathroom breaks on WrestleMania this year.
Yeah.
So, if Rey is in this match, well, first of all, me and Andy are going to be, you know, probably in the hospital from marking out.
Yeah.
Second of all,
I'm going to have a seizure. I'm
going to have a fucking heart attack.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I want it to happen because, you know, Rey fit wrestler and all that. So, I hope that does happen, whether it's on Raw or whether it's at WrestleMania. So, it's just going to have to be wait and see kind of deal. But, WWE is confirmed from what I've understood. So, Team Laurinaitis is filled, and Team Long is those four guys just named it, somebody else, so I can't fucking remember. So, yeah. But hopefully Rey does get the last spot on Team Long.
Love if that happened. I'm a Rey Mark.
Yes, we are. Okay, do we want to go to DVD now?
Sure. Which one do you want to start off with?
We are doing Undertaker's Deadliest Matches 3-disc set.
Cool.
This time around, so here we go. Do we want to talk about all the matches? Because some of these matches are fucking forgettable.
I'd really like to start off with the first two matches I loved, okay? The first two matches. I gotta be honest, this is probably the only DVD that I could watch all the matches on, like, in one day. Like, it was just great. I can't believe I watched this full thing, because at first I was like, okay, I'm not the biggest Undertaker fan, but I'm gonna give this a try, right? And I loved it. I love Undertaker now. He's, like, I don't know why, this DVD just made me change my opinion on the Undertaker.
I think we'll just start with the Mankind stuff. I think that just is where we should start.
I liked the custom-made coffin, though, with Undertaker and Kamala. I did like the...
Yeah, I did like that, too. I did like the casket match with Undertaker and Marble, whatever the hell. With the graffiti all over it. I thought that was neat. The casket matches and the body bag match with Ultimate Warrior before this, with two of them are with... One of them was with Kamala, one of them was with Kama, which I don't even know who the fuck come is, to be quite honest.
Kamala?
No. Kamala's one of them. C-A-M-A, comma. I don't know who the hell that is.
That other one, comma. Who's that?
I don't know who the fuck that is. But yeah, Undertaker and King Mabel, you know, that match was good, from what I remember. But, you know, of course, you know, King of the Ring 96, which, ironically, Taker and Mankind have two King of the Rings back-to-back. Of course, everybody knows 97. Or 98. What the hell that fucking King of the Ring Hell in the Cell was? You know, everybody knows that match, of course. Yes. And then the Boiler Room Brawl, one of my favorite matches of all time. Undertaker, Mankind, Boiler Room Brawl, SummerSlam 96, just fucking awesome.
Yeah, of course. 96 was the year I was born, so I had to watch this DVD to watch the match. So, yeah, I love this. I love the first disc. The first disc was great.
And then, of course, Buried Alive with Stone Cold from Rock Bottom, which that was the around this time is when Taker was using that the theme with the electric guitar, which is my favorite theme of his, where it's bounced and now and now, just fucking awesome theme for Taker from the 90s. And this Buried Alive match from Rock Bottom is a great match. The only way you can really see this match is on this DVD set, because if you try to find it on YouTube, you're going to be shit out of luck. But great match. They have another Inferno match between Undertaker and Kane from 99, which was on Raw, which I thought was very good, for, you know, it being on Raw and everything. It wasn't a very long match from what I remember, but, it was still a really good match. So, yeah. Then we have a couple matches with Undertaker and Big Show. One of the matches, Undertaker hits Big Show over the face with a fucking baseball bat, I think, which is, like, fucking awesome, because the baseball bat, like, breaks into a million pieces.
I love that. That was great.
And then the next match is where Undertaker gets chokeslammed through the ring. So, two very cool matches, just because of the two moments at the end of both of them. From Raw, from 99, so yeah.
Oh, you never see matches like that on Raw anymore.
No, you don't.
Nope.
The Concrete Crypt match from American Bash 90, or nine, no, I'm in the 90s. Whoa. Grand American Bash 2004. This is a weird match, to be quite honest. I'm not the biggest fan of it. You know, Paul Bearer getting buried in cement is just kind of like...
kind of fucking hilarious.
It's kind of weird.
I thought it was hilarious.
The fact that this match ended the pay-per-view, just...
yeah, that's kind of weird.
Crap. That's just the same pay-per-view with Eddie and JBL. Match.
Yeah, so, exactly. Why didn't they end the...
No idea.
Yes.
Undertaker vs. Heidenreich, casket match, Royal Rumble 2005. Good match. Heidenreich loses...
yeah, you can't really say much about that.
Can't say much about that match other than it's a good match.
The next match.
Yes, the next match is awesome. Handicap. Match. Randy Orton and Cowboy Bob Orton versus Undertaker. No Mercy 2005. Fucking awesome.
That's one of my favorite Taker matches of all time.
I'm right there with you. And of course the ending where Randy Orton sets the casket on fire.
Oh, fuck, I love it.
Fuck yeah. And then the next pay-per-view of Survivor Series where Taker busts out the casket. Like one of my favorite returns of all time.
Yeah.
And, you know, cleans house, then, you know. Then they set up the Armageddon Hell in the Cell match, which is an awesome match.
Great feud. Another underrated feud.
Nearly a year-long feud, which, you know, they don't do those anymore. Or at least when they do them, they don't suck, a la Rock and John Cena. But, but you know, great match, great feud, Undertaker-Randy Orton.
Don't even talk about the next match.
Well, I am, for one reason. This is the only good Great Khali match in existence.
I'd have to disagree. Punjabi prison match with Batista.
Okay, he has two.
That's probably it.
Yep, that's it. That's all.
Yeah, and then fuck the rest.
And fuck the rest, I agree. But this is a good match, actually. I'm not going to knock it. It's a good match. Great Khali gets demolished. And when he gets demolished, I mean, it's fucking awesome. It's round of applause for Great Khali getting
destroyed. Yeah. Good job, Undertaker. I love you, Taker.
This is the Great Khali burial episode.
You might as well name that the title, Great Khali gets buried.
Because he's been buried more than once.
Why is he showing up so much in this podcast? The star of the show.
The reason I say that is because Khali's head is in the steel steps, and Taker just beats his head in between the steps in a steel chair, and it's fucking awesome.
Whoa. Yay.
Next feud is another great feud. Undertaker versus Mr. Kennedy, first blood match.
Oh, do you guys remember the finish for that?
Yes, with the fucking...
MVP.
Oh, yeah. Well,
MVP came out, didn't he? Was that the one where MVP came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, like, hid the blood from Mr. Kennedy and, like, made it look like he never was bleeding.
And then he brought in a chair, and then he, like, went to hit... I don't know what the hell happened, but MVP was involved. The only thing I remember is the chair shot Taker gives to Kennedy at the end of the match. Fucking
yeah.
Sick chair shot.
Yeah.
Great match. And then, of course, their last ride match from Armageddon 2006. Phenomenal. Best last ride match ever. Six bumps. Just great match. Great
yeah.
feud for how long it lasted, which was like 3 pay-per-views, I think. So, good
yeah.
little feud. Had 2 great matches in it, so... last man standing match, Undertaker Batista, Backlash 2007. First of all, it's best feud 2007. This is the only good feud of 2007. Because 2007
yeah.
sucks balls, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But this is a great match. It ends in a double count out, so to speak. And great match, and that's really all I can say about that.
Oh, big
I'm
daddy
not
beat.
Talking about the next match, because I don't even know what the fuck it is, because I never watched it.
I did. It's nothing special, trust me. I don't know why it's on the DVD.
I don't know either. Undertaker Edge, Hell in a Cell. Whole
oh, God.
Crap.
My God.
This was the first ever WWE pay-per-view I saw. The whole thing, whole pay-per-view, was this one. SummerSlam 2008. Great show, and then this match was awesome. The spots they took in this match were insane. The double table spot that Edge took off the top rope, spear through the announce table, chairs, tables, steps, spear through the cell, then Edge getting chokeslammed to hell. So it's a great match that has no blood, but it doesn't need blood because
I know, but
they destroyed each other. So,
yeah. I don't like that the Edge and Undertaker WrestleMania match is not on this.
I don't either, but like I said, it's going to be on Edge's new disc set that's coming out in a week or something like that.
That's good, that's good.
So, you know, there you go. What do you want to rate the DVD?
Oh, yeah, there was one more match, Steel Cage, but I don't think it's not
I don't
big
remember
deal.
It,
show.
That's why I didn't say it, because I don't remember the match.
I sort of, like, remember it, but not very well, but whenever you have Big Show in a match, you know, he can't really do much with... Undertaker probably made him look good a bit more in this match. I briefly remember this, but I think Undertaker won this match. I don't think it's very special, but this DVD I really liked. I'd probably give it about a 9, maybe an 8.5, because I thought it was great.
I'm right there with you.
I think
Tombstone is better. For those of you who have Tombstone, the History of the Undertaker, to me it's far superior to this set, but this is still a great set because it has a lot of matches that I don't have of the Undertaker on it, and this is a nice set as well. So both Tombstone and Deadliest matches to me are great sets for the Undertaker. So yeah, and we are on to the pay-per-view, which today we're doing Fatal 4-Way 2010. So are you ready to review this thing?
I'm ready.
Okay. Kofi Kingston, Drew Macker.
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 Macker. Drew Macker. It's McIntyre.
Give me some Mac sauce in that Big Mac.
Oh, God.
Kofi Kingston versus Drew McIntyre, Intercontinental Championship. This is a good match, when I remember. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I like... You know what? Kofi gets hated a lot, okay? And I think that you put him in the ring...
I don't really understand why that is, to be quite honest.
You put him in the ring with guys like... Okay, him and Chris Jericho had a pretty good match for the Intercontinental title, if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that was when Kofi was, like, over. Like, that's when he was, like, put over. Was when he beat Jericho for the title. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did beat Jericho.
He did.
Yeah, and that basically put him over. And, yeah, I thought that Kofi did well as the Intercontinental Champion. And, yeah. The next match was the Divas match. We don't really have to talk about that.
Fuck Alicia Fox.
Yeah, exactly. She's horrible.
Not that way either.
No, neither. Neither way. Fuck her. Whatever.
Fuck her. She sucks ass.
Evan Bourne versus Chris Jericho was a bonus match.
Phenomenal match.
I love these two.
Evan Bourne winning was awesome, but then he fucked up, and
Yeah.
That's the end of your push, motherfucker.
Yeah. Woo. See you later, Evan Bourne. Go smoke some drugs.
Go smoke some drugs. great match. That's all I'm gonna say.
Just... Oh God, the next match.
Oh my, yeah,
God.
The next match.
My God. My God. I'm getting goosebumps.
This is something I'm gonna kick myself for till the end of time. For those of you who don't know, I was not watching wrestling around this time. I took about a year off of professional wrestling, and I did not see this live. Matter of fact, I didn't know about this till like 3 months later. So, you know, for a Ray fan, I should probably be drawn a quarter because of this. But, you know, Jack Swagger, who is the World Heavyweight Champion, who sucks ass, versus CM Punk, who is amazing, Big Show, who is whatever, and then Ray, who was God.
Ray.
And Ray wins the world title here in spectacular fashion. And this is the only reason I have this DVD, to be quite honest, the only reason I picked up this pay-per-view. Even though they put it on Life of a Masked Man, I still just want to have the DVD because Ray is on the front of the DVD with the world title. And that's just something I think is cool. And I'm still just going to keep the DVD for that. But that's really the only reason I have Fatal 4-Way on DVD. But it still is a good pay-per-view. I'm not saying it sucks. Like, one of the worst pay-per-views I've ever seen. It's nothing like December Dismember or about half the shows from 2007 or, like, a lot of other things. This is still a good show from 2010. It's not bad.
Yeah. Obviously, we like the finish of this match.
Well, duh. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that one out.
Yeah, and, you know, when I was watching this live, you kind of doubt that Ray will ever be world champion. You kind of doubt that because they're not really putting the title on him, which fucking pisses me off. And don't even get me started with the John Cena and Rey Mysterio match for the WWE title.
Don't even get me started with that. We'll go an hour. Just don't do it.
Yeah, we'll go an hour if we talk about that.
Yeah.
But when Rey won the title, you can probably imagine that I was having a heart attack slash seizure slash, like, oh, God, everything. I was just, I'm pretty sure I got grounded for being so loud, okay? Because I was marking out. I actually have to admit, that's probably the reason why one of the hands is broken off my Randy Orton on Match Fury, because I marked out, and my whole room shook, and the fucking figures fell off the wall, and I was marking out, jumping up and down, like, punching shit. I was like, fuck yeah, finally. When I saw him grab that world title, I almost cried, because I am a Ray Mark.
And that, okay? is the fucking shit, is what that is.
Yes.
I did the same thing for, you know, the match that will not be named, John Cena, Rey Mysterio, but the match before that, but the match before that, The Miz and Rey Mysterio, I cried. I cried. I was in tears. And fuck that Dell. I have a different computer now. Dell, fuck you, because I slept. The story of that was, I know, Tangent City right now, but fuck it, this is Razor's Edge, and I will do what I want. I took a nap before Raw that night. And I got up about 9 o'clock. I was like, shit! So I scrambled to get on my Dell, and it took forever for the fucking stream to get up. And I didn't see it until Ray had the title, and then it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Ray's the champion.
Yes, and it was amazing. Do you even want to talk about anything else other than the main event?
I am going to admit I'm a fan of the Hart Dynasty, and I'm a fan of the Usos. I love them. I love that feud. It was probably the only good tag team feud in the last 3 years.
I would agree. So, it is a good match from what I remember. So.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was really good. I like it.
John Cena, Randy Orton, Edge, and Sheamus. Sheamus winning the belt, I thought, was really cool here.
I like Sheamus.
I'm a Sheamus fan. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Great. This is a really good match, really good Fatal 4-Way. But to me, this is a good show. I really don't have a problem with this show. Yeah, there's really two bad matches on here, The Miz and R-Truth and the Divas title match. But everything else on here is fucking solid. If I was going to score this pay-per-view out of 10 stars, I'd probably give it a 6.75 or a 7. If it was Ray, it'd be 10, but I'm going off everything on the card here. I'd probably,
you know what?
You know, 6.5 or a 7. That's how good it is, in my opinion. So
I have to be honest, though. As much as I love seeing the cover with Ray with the title belt, they spoiled the three main title matches on the cover.
That's true. And I kind of, you know, but whatever.
Because some of those kids who go to Walmart, it's like, Daddy, look, I missed this pay-per-view. Come on, I want to buy it. Oh, fuck, they spoiled the matches.
Oh, well, fuck it, who cares?
Yeah, fuck it. You didn't watch it live?
Well, I really don't give a shit. Fuck
the... Raise the champion.
As my friend John says, fuck the children. I don't give a shit.
Oh, God.
Are we done with Razor's Edge? We have anything else to say?
I don't know, because we don't want to get into Rey Mysterio, because that'll take forever. Yeah. Like, let's be honest, that would be a good solid 3 or 4 hours. Okay? We would go through his career like it's nothing, and probably cry 4 times. And then we'd get into Eddie Guerrero, and then we'd get into his feuds, and it would just take fucking forever.
But that's awesome. That's why...
yeah, I know.
And trust me, that podcast is coming, so, you know, don't
We will for all the Rey Mysterio marks. For all the Rey Mysterio marks, if you're not going to listen to this podcast, go fuck yourself, okay? because we are probably the biggest Rey fans in the world, and I'm saying it right now. Preston's a bigger fan than me. He's the biggest Rey Mysterio fan I've ever met in my life, but I got to be a close second because I know that we will rip the shit out of the Rey Mysterio podcast, and it'll be like 4 fucking parts. And we will tear the fucking house down. No other wrestler has impacted me like Rey Mysterio. And I don't want to go past there because I'll spoil it. I really will.
And I think on that note, we are going to end Razor's Edge for this week. And I think this week was a hell of a lot better than last week's episode.
Yeah.
If I do say so myself. But I want to thank everybody for downloading last week's episode. And with that being said, we are going to sign off for this week. We will catch you on the edge next week. And WrestleMania preview, of course. We're going to talk about Raw, SmackDown, and everything else. Of course, as always, another DVD review and another pay-per-view review as every week. But, of course, WrestleMania preview as well. So next week will probably be a little longer than the hour that we're normally going to be doing probably for these podcasts. Because I know last week we knocked it out in 40-something minutes. This week's probably going to be about the same, a little longer, probably about an hour or so. With that being said, we'll see you next week. WrestleMania preview, Raw, SmackDown, DVD review, pay-per-view review, like always. And with that being said, I am Preston. And he is Andy, and we'll catch you on the edge next week. So, catch us on YouTube, by the way. WLegend619 and 619 Mercenary, both of our YouTube accounts, for more wrestling talk and more wrestling videos. And that's it. We're out. See you later.
Peace.